What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is iHeartRadio's Prattcast with Stephanie Pratt and Wells Adams.
We don't need no studio. We don't need to go to Burbank. I'm in the islands right now, and Steph, are you in London?
I am. You just live on islands now. You're like Skipper and Gilligan.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know what's?
Oh my God! Did you know that song?
I do know that song. I know the entire song.
That's crazy. That is crazy. That's when I first thought you were so cool.
Now sit right back and you'll hear a tale of 45 minutes of Steph talking about this TV show where she is a f***ing wreck.
That was epic.
So
that was good.
I'm in the islands right now. Sarah and I are having a little vacay because she goes back to filming Modern at the end of the month. And obviously I was working on Paradise for the past month, so we both needed like a little vacay. So we are broadcasting live from my view is pretty ridiculous right now. And you're in London.
My view is night sky. Your view is much better right now. This time difference for us is nuts.
I know it's
Wait, 19... how much time does Sarah get off a year?
How much time do you get off a year, baby? 3.5 months.
Wow, that's it? That's gnarly.
Yeah, man.
Enjoy your vacay.
I know, we are. And so you're in, yeah, it's 19 hours difference here. Where I am, so it's crazy. But so you're in London. Can I ask you a question? Why the hell, right when your show starts airing, would you leave the country and go to London?
You haven't seen the show yet, the whole series. It's a complete. It's hard. It was really hard for me, and I actually today when I was getting my hair done. I was talking to Robert and I was like, you know what? I don't even think I'm going to watch the rest of the series. Because when I watched episode 2 last night at my best friend Dominic's house, I was very upset. I honestly think that this series needs to be like 20 episodes if that's why they're cutting scenes that are so important. I don't know if it's like a time thing, but... we just filmed so much, and at my welcome home party, it doesn't show Heidi screaming at Misha being like, don't you dare talk to my son's godfather like that. That's when I found out Perez was the godfather.
Yeah.
And she starts coming after Misha, and then
hold on,
I jumped in.
Yeah. You,
but that's why I came to London. Like, no, that's like, I was not happy in LA.
Yeah. You answered question 7 when I asked question 1. So you're in London because the show stresses you out.
I live here. I came to LA to do the show and to bring Mimi London jewelry line to the U.S. market.
Okay.
It did not work out with my family. It was a mistake to go to L.A. Mm-hmm. And I always said that I was going to come back the day after filming. But I said that before filming even started. That was just, I love living here.
Yeah.
I really love it.
So are you...
So,
are you happier now that you're back in sunny London town?
Oh my, I have not stopped. My cheeks hurt right now.
Yeah.
I I've been having so many conversations with the cab drivers. I just love it. I met a new friend named Jane and her dog Mia. She's a neighbor. I mean, honestly, I'm just so happy here.
That's awesome.
In LA, it's kind of like I just stay at my place with my dog because no one wants to drive to the Palisades, to Malibu. And after work, I don't want to get in that traffic going east for 3 hours. So I'm very much alone, or I'd go to my parents' house down the road. So here, I just feel like I live a very full life. I feel like in LA, also with the weather, because it never changes, that life just passes me by very quickly. You know, all of a sudden it's November, but it's still sunny and I'm still sitting in the Palisades doing nothing. I don't know. I just, why are you smiling and laugh, like almost laughing?
I've literally heard every reason why LA sucks from every different person in the world, but I have never heard anyone complain about the weather always being sunny and beautiful. This is a
But it's just because you never know. Like, the months just go by so fast.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get a proper holiday season. And I don't know. I feel like I live better here. Yeah. I'm way more social. I, you know, take public transportation. I feel very safe here. I've got my friends here. You know, home is where the heart is.
All right.
Well, so I did figure that out. So I'm thinking about renting out my place in LA.
Yeah, dude, or Airbnb it.
No. Okay. It'd have to be rented to someone I know.
Okay.
Ugh.
Okay, so let's just
I've been saying this for 6 years.
Let's just get into it, Steph. I am on vacation, so I haven't seen the episode, but I saw the trailer last week for this week's episode, and it's your big coming home party, not your birthday party, but
birthday party.
I like it being a birthday party. So whatever. So just set the table, because Frankie has this birthday party for you, right? Or sorry, this coming home party for you. And then cut to like Misha yelling at Perez Hilton. So tell me what happened.
Okay. Misha thing, she went and confronted Perez Hilton about, you know, he was really horrible to Misha. I don't know if you guys remember that, but it was almost like she was his favorite target. And it was really awful. So she's, you know, saying, you really hurt my feelings, blah, blah, blah. I can't really hear. And he's saying, if I could take it all back, I swear I would. And then he's like, I swear on my kids. And she's like, I don't believe that because you're still doing it. Mm-hmm. And he starts screaming, going, I just swore on my kids, and goes nuts. And then Heidi comes over and she goes, what's the problem here? And Misha's like, whatever. And she goes, you know what, Misha, you can just leave. This is my son's godfather. Dare ever talk to him like that. Just like goes after Misha. Misha like walks away like so upset. Then Spencer is like fighting with Frankie and Justin because they have my back when he was yelling at me, which isn't shown. It was very intense. So Spencer starts yelling at them like, you know, my friends, get away. And then as they're leaving, Spencer starts a fight with Whitney Port.
About what?
Like, I don't even know. I just remember everyone the next day being like, they unfollowed us and blocked us. I don't get notifications, I'm sure I've been blocked forever. But yeah, they went after everyone. And it's just, maybe I just love the show so much and I believe in it so much that I want it to be like 2-hour episodes. Mm-hmm. But there's just so much happening.
Yeah.
That I feel like isn't shown. Okay. And it like, honestly, I really think it must be a time thing, because there's no reason not to show so much more drama.
Okay, so then, I mean, that's the point.
It's a mystery.
That's the point of this show, right? Is to be able to like right the wrongs and like say your piece. So, like, what about that coming home party wasn't shown that should have been?
I just told you.
You didn't really explain it. You didn't,
dude, they
no one really
stormed
understood.
Off screaming.
Who did?
At everyone, Spencer and Heidi, when they left. They were screaming at me, "These aren't your friends. You have no friends. Go back to London. These are your castmates. These are not your f***ing friends. Everyone hates you." Going wild. And Heidi had just finished screaming at Misha, and they just both walked out being like, "F*** everyone. F*** all of you." Just like absolutely nuts.
So after this happened, was everyone like, "Oh my God"?
I called the girls the next day, and I just wanted to say, "Are you guys okay? I want you to know it was not personal. You know, it has nothing to do with you." Because he screamed at Whitney, Ashley, Jason's wife. I think Audrina was the only one that was safe. So, yeah, I actually had to call and do damage control. And then the executive producer, Alex Baskin, he called me the next day and he said, "I want to check on you. Are you okay?" And I said, "Actually, I am. Like, I'm not going to get upset about this. Like, they were on another level. Like, it was crazy."
Yeah.
Like, I can't even, like, feel feelings. I'm so just like, wow, that's them.
So here's my question, though. After all that happened, was everyone like, "Oh, my God, Steph, you're so right about Spencer and Heidi"?
I don't know. I think they all saw Heidi for the first time.
Yeah.
Which was very satisfying for me. And they all saw that they never changed. I wouldn't necessarily say, you know, everyone had beef after that. I mean, they always have beef with everyone, but, you know, the cast lets things roll off, whatever. But they, I think everyone, producers, crew, everyone was like, "Whoa." But after that, I mean, then you see them with Gunnar and they're the most amazing parents. So I know how I feel about it. I know how some of the cast feels about it, but I don't want to like put my opinion too much on it.
But I guess, so just to like put a bow on it, effectively, they ruined your coming home party.
Oh my God. Yes.
Okay.
I was crying at the end of the night. They told me I had no friends, to f*** off back to London, that these were all my castmates, that everyone hates me. They went in. And then they were lying about that whole thing that they told me in advance about Gunnar. And I'm like, "Stop lying. That never happened." And he's, you know, going, "You're so crazy. All you do is lie," but he's screaming it.
Yeah.
And it's very frustrating. And Heidi is... thank God she drank, because I know she woke up the next morning and she was like, "Shit, what have I done?" Because her, like, their whole plan was to show how changed they are and, you know, Crystal's peace and love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everyone actually believed it. Like, they told, when I got back from London originally, everyone's like, "Yeah, they've really changed. They seem like very mellow and happy." So they fooled everyone. But, yeah, it was nuts. They ruined it for sure. But then watching it, I know you haven't watched. And then watching it, I know you haven't watched it. But in the interviews, Heidi says, "I don't want to go to her welcome home party."
Yeah.
I can't, like, that's not the exact phrasing, but it's just like, okay. Like, she's just mean off the bat. Is that the right saying? Off the bat?
Yeah.
Off the...
No, that's right.
No.
Yeah, like right off the bat. They were mean right off the bat, like immediately.
Okay.
You know, it's like just looking at it from like a third party's perspective, it sounds like a whole lot of projection, right? Like, you have no friends, no one likes you. And it sounds like, which is weird because they're at a party that everyone's coming to, like, welcome you home. So, like, those are all your friends. And the projection seems to be coming from Heidi and Spencer as almost being like, we're not your friends. We want you to know that. And then, like, storming off, you know? It's just interesting because it just seems like them projecting of, like, it's almost like that they're saying that about themselves. Like, none of these people like you. None of these people are your friends. And to them, it's like, and I'm sure everyone around is like, are you talking about Stephanie? Are you guys talking about yourselves? Because you guys are going crazy. No one really appreciates this. Like, you guys have always just kind of been, like, bombastic for TV. Are you saying this about Stephanie or you're saying this about yourselves? Do you think that there's some, like, validity to that or no?
Absolutely. It's just, you know, it's just been hard because for the past 8 months, they've been gaslighting me, making me feel like I'm crazy and that, you know, I'm just so emotional and we've always been friends, that I'm the one that always has a problem. And, you know, that's just not, I'm always the one to apologize for whatever problem they have with me.
Yeah.
And so it's just, you know, I was in therapy, like, throughout the series, but there were a lot of times when I wanted to quit because they were completely gaslighting me, making me feel like, what, like, everyone doesn't like me, that it's this whole conspiracy, you know? Like, it wasn't nice. They attacked straight off the bat. That's it.
Yeah, straight off the bat. Right off the bat. I think they both work. Let's take a quick break and continue on in a bit, okay?
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What about Heidi spilling alcohol over you?
Not even surprised. Like, that's her. And that's why when I, you know, the first podcast that was wild when we were in Napa, that's why I was so upset, because she's mean to my face.
Yeah.
It's not behind my back like a normal girl. She's, I'm not mean to anyone's face. I can be mean over text. I can be, I can't be mean, actually, but not for no reason. Like, I've been nothing but nice to her, you know? And then just Napa Valley, I finally exploded because the champagne thing. But she's mean to my face. Like, when I came over, right when I landed over Christmas, and she opened the door, she said, "What are you doing here?" I was like, "Spencer told me to come see Gunnar." Like, that's the thing. It's like, be nice to my face, at least, while you're destroying our family and for what you've done. You know? At least be nice to my face. Don't spill a f***ing drink on me. And don't exclude me when you're giving drinks to the girls. Like, she's just a bitch.
Okay, so in defense of Heidi, I think that there is, like, there is some valor in being a bitch to your face and not behind your back. You know, like, the being the bitch behind
your back. But she is, too.
Yeah, okay, so she's...
But she is to my mom. Yeah, she's just mean. But, and that's, you know, I'm still not talking to my mom.
Yeah, I know.
Because of this.
What about, have you guys not, like, tried to go back to therapy?
No, it got worse. And I had, like, this epiphany a few weeks ago that, you know, I love my mom, but for some reason, she will always believe Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ever since I was 18, anything he says, even when we were filming and my mom asked about like some time thing, like how long we'd be out of town. And I said like 2 days. She said, "That's not what Spencer said. It's 5 days." And I said, "I don't know why he's saying that. It's 2 days." "Well, Stephanie, you have it wrong. It's 5 days." And then I text the producer and be like, my mom doesn't think it's 2 days. Can you please tell me that it's 2 days over text?" Mm-hmm. And then I showed it to her and she was like, "Well, they heard this from someone else." And it's just like, you will never believe me. And I finally figured that out. So because I've been so resentful that I didn't even realize, because I'm just such a workaholic, but I've just been having so much anger and resentment like hidden deep down in me so I could continue to like entertain and live the way I'm supposed to be living. That I just have to let it go and know that and be proud of myself. Like, I could every year yell at my parents for, you know, letting Spencer sit at the beach house for eight years while I've been working my ass off, and like, I don't feel appreciated like him. You know, I could have this fight every year, and I was having it every year. And now it's just like, I know it's not ever a fight. Like, it's, that's just a fact.
Yeah.
And like, that's fine. Like, but I think for my mom and I, we just need some time out, because we're both really dramatic and emotional. And it's been a really, really bad year. And her dad is really ill right now. And we lost Kiki, you know? So I think we just need a lot of time. But I really wish that things that weren't cut out of the episode, and hopefully in future episodes, like, I was very excited for her to, like, see them treat how they treat me. But I am treat other people.
Why do you think that they cut all that stuff out of the episode? Do you think they're trying to protect Heidi and Spencer, or is it just, like, a time thing?
You know what's so funny is Brody's wife, Caitlin, texted me, and I hadn't seen the episode yet because I was flying. And she goes, "Brody and I are convinced Spencer and Heidi are producers."
Yeah.
But they're not. Because I remember Spencer ages ago being like, "Brody's a producer."
Yeah.
I think it just comes down to time. I cannot believe there's any other reason to not include that.
Yeah.
Can you?
Well, so here's my thing. When I watch TV, you have to have like some sort of character arc, right? And it's more compelling if Spencer and Heidi don't look bad, and then it escalates.
Oh my God, you're right.
And it escalates, and then there's a big crescendo. So then people are like, "Whoa, where did that come from?" Other than like, they're just being mean and crazy,
nasty all
the time. You know, then there's no character arc for it.
Wells.
Yeah.
Put the mic down, quit this podcast, and you become an executive producer right now. That was amazing. And you're so right. You're so right.
Yeah.
Because I, like what I was saying, you know, there's such great parents in Cute Gunner. I bet there's going to be a lot of, like, cute scenes.
Yeah.
But if Heidi pretends that she doesn't have a nanny or housekeeper, I literally will flip.
So I'm on vacation right now down in the islands, and you know what sucks is that the ice melts in my drink so fast, and no one likes warm drinks, right?
Ooh, water down.
Right? Neither did Dylan, the founder of Brewmate. That's why he made it Brewmate's mission to shake up the beverage industry for the better. Whatever your taste in beer, wine, or spirits, Brewmate makes sure every sip is the perfect temperature.
I love how many designs and styles Brewmate has to choose from. They've truly got something for everyone. Mine, the one I ordered, is purple glitter. It's a flask.
I got the matte black finish. I feel like James Bond. I feel really cool when I drink out of that thing. And last week, I went on a picnic with me and my lady. And you know we had to bring our Brewmate's wine cellar and uncorked wine glasses out. It kept the bottle of rosé at a perfect temperature all day, even though it was super hot. So don't settle for warm alcohol, boys and girls. Chill out with your favorite drinks all day long with Brewmate. Visit brewmate.com and add code PRATCAST, that's PRATTCAST, to get 15% off your first order.
That's 15% off your first order when you go to Brewmate, brewmate.com and add code PRATCAST.
Let's keep on going through the episode. I saw that you were confiding in Justin Bobby. How is that conversation for you?
You know, I just finished filming on Friday.
Yeah.
And I said I wouldn't have made it throughout this series without him.
Really?
And I know listeners are going to take this anyway, whatever. I don't care. But I wouldn't have. Honestly, he was rock solid for me. Rock solid. And he, you know, Audrina's right. We do have a lot in common. Mm-hmm. We're not great on phones and time changes, kind of gypsies.
Yeah.
And we don't have kids and responsibilities. We're like grown up children, which is not good. But we, you know, so we really understand each other. We have this, you know, we both worry, like, are we letting our parents down by not being married with kids? Mm-hmm. So we really, yeah, he saved me this series for sure.
Are you attracted to him at all?
No, and I know you are. You don't need to go there again.
No, I'm just wondering, like, is it like just a friendly thing, or is there like a part of you that's like, he's hot though?
No, I've never really liked that style.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also, it's always been very much friendship thing. When he was dating Audrina on the original Hills, I was dating this guy named Sleazy T.
Steph, you sure know how to pick a girl.
Brody, they all called him that. Oh my God, that's hilarious. His name is Taylor. Anyways, so we'd all like sleep over at Audrina's and hang out. And Justin and I were very much friends always. We went to Costa Rica and they were in a fight. Not Costa Rica, somewhere else. Yeah, it was whatever. And, you know, I was like mediating it. It's always been very, very, very platonic.
Okay.
And also, I have a ton of guy friends. That's so unfair that girls can't have guy friends.
No.
Do you think everyone's going to think I'm hooking up with him?
No, but I think I would be doing a bad job on this show if I didn't ask you that question.
Oh, I know. I'm not mad.
Yeah. No, I'm just
I'm already like, I'm already seeing it all.
Yeah. Okay, let's switch. Let's switch gears. Let's go to Brody and Caitlin. Having some sexy time in the bathtub, which, can I just say I'm kind of surprised about this, because it looked like in the first episode that, like, that marriage was heading down a very scary path, and then all of a sudden it, like, cuts to sexy time. I don't know.
That is their relationship.
Yeah. But he does admit that he misses the freedom of being single. Like, should Brody be married? Should Brody be married?
Okay, first of all,
yeah,
that is a surprise for everyone.
Okay.
I really can't say more than that. But you haven't seen his interview in the episode. I was dying laughing. He was saying something like, I used to have so much fun running around. And then he was like basically winking to the camera, and he was like, Caitlin and I still have fun. And insinuating that it was fun with other people as well.
Oh, are they?
If you catch my drift.
Yeah, are they swinging for the fences, if you will?
He was like blushing and laughing about it. Like, it was such a funny interview to watch.
But is he being serious, or is he joking around in that scenario?
No, dude, that is serious.
What?
That's like legit. Yes. Okay. Google it.
I don't want to
Google. He said it on his show.
Okay, so this isn't.
It's all good. Like,
this isn't allegedly. This is an opinion. This is. Lawyers
no,
aren't going to get mad at us
legal
for
purposes.
This. Yeah. Okay.
No, he said it on his show. You can find it online. And that is something else that I thought episode one would get into. I just don't know what I'm watching, honestly. That's why I'm going to stop watching it.
Okay, but going back to putting my producer hat back on, if that is true,
yes.
You can't be dropping that he and his wife are swingers in episode two. You got to wait till like 7B to throw that in there. You know, like, you can't come right out of the gates just, you know, hitting home runs. You got to slow everyone into it.
Why? I need to be captivated, or else my ADD, I'm like, bye. I have to be captivated at the beginning.
Yeah, but you like that.
And I need a cliffhanger.
Yeah, but like that episode, you were captivated by the crazy fight between Misha and Perez. You know, like, that's the big storyline in that episode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can't overshadow that by your two other stars are swinging. They're swinging, you know? Like, you got to space it out, I feel like.
I know, but it all happens together. It was so hectic.
All right. let's go back to the homecoming party. Can I call him JB? Does he go by JB? Justin Bobby?
Sure.
Jibs. 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 Jibs and Adrina talking. There's chemistry between them, I guess. Like, is this a foregone conclusion that they're going to make beautiful babies by the end of this season?
I was shocked watching Adrina.
Yeah.
Like, shocked. She wants him, right?
Yeah, her and
but
the
all
rest
along,
of America.
She says to... Lol.
Can we just talk about what JB's been doing for the past 10 years real quick?
No idea. He said he was living in Nicaragua. Like, no. I thought he was in Arizona. Like, no idea. Literally, I thought he was, like, living in Arizona.
Lived in a treehouse. Stayed in huts on the beach. Couldn't be a major rock and roller in Indonesia, so he came back. By the way, who's trying to break into the rock and roll market in Indonesia? That is the...
It's genius. Absolutely genius.
You know what Indonesia needs? They need an American rock and roller with the heart of gold and the eyes that'll pierce through your heart. And then he didn't do it.
You know, one of those tatted guys. No, honestly, I don't know. Like, he also watched, I think he is the star of the show, and he was my favorite to watch the entire episode. The things he was saying, I don't remember the, because this was back near Thanksgiving when he came over, and watching it and him saying, I've been in Nicaragua for 3 years, like all this stuff. And he said another quote. I really wish that I had written them down. I'm going to do that for the next episode if I end up watching it. But I mean, he is just so funny and original, and it's just like this awesome alien from another planet.
I told you last episode that I thought the stars of the show were Audrina and Jibs. And
it's Jibs by himself.
Just Jibs?
Just Jibs. Just Jibs.
Wait, why can't we have him on the show already? What is going on here?
Because you're on an island and I'm in another country.
Fair enough.
Could you do a three-way Skype? Well, let's ask Brody.
Okay, I want to go back to the Misha Perez fight real quick, because I feel like we kind of glazed over it, and there's just a lot of meat there, you know?
To be honest, being there really wasn't any.
Really? I mean, like, the whole, like, I swore on my kids! I swore on my kids'
yeah,
life!
Yeah, no one... Yeah, it was, like, a flash compared to everything else.
Really? I mean, like, do you think that that's Perez yeah. Hilton's version of what I gotta do on a reality TV show? Like, I wonder, like, when people...
For
sure. Yeah, like, when people come on and do, like, cameos. Like, I was watching old episodes with Sarah the other day, and I saw one where Kelly Catrone, like, you, it's like, Kelly Catrone came up to you at a party, and it was, I guess it was Kelly's party or whatever, and she kind of just, like, yeah, kind of, like, you kind of apologized, and she kind of, like, yelled at you or made fun of you, and then, like, kind of, like, stormed off. And I was like, is that what people think they're supposed to do when they come on the show, like, for cameos? It was like, Perez Hilton was like, okay, what do most people do? I got to come in there, I got to yell at somebody, I got to storm off, and then bingo, yeah. Bango, boombo, I've done an MTV show.
Yep, and it really backfires for some people, because there was a girl, someone's sister
yeah.
from the Hills, and she was really trying to be on it, like, telling us, you know, tell the producers I have to be on, blah, blah, blah. And she came in so hot, like, the first week of filming, and she got into it with me, like, making fun of me for being single and 32 at the time. Like, it was just crazy. Like, she came in so hot, mm-hmm. but it backfired for her. They were like, no, no, no. But, like, for Camille Grammer on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, you know, it works, because, like, it's in phases with her.
Yeah.
But Perez, I mean, also, like, I love that he's promoting the show, obviously. But all it is Perez on the Hills, Perez on the Hills. Like, I think it's banners on everything. I mean, he thinks he's the Jib of the show.
He thinks he's Jibs?
I think so.
There can be only one Jibs, all right? And he has to be a True. Rock and roller from Indonesia, all right? Perez, if you want to get on the Jibs level, you got to go to Indonesia and form a band.
Wait, what do you think, though? Do you think Perez was honest? And, like, do you think he really meant it when he said he swore on his kids? Because that's a gnarly thing to do.
I think that he has been probably having these fights his entire career. And he's gotten very good at shifting the narrative.
Deflecting.
Yeah.
Deflecting. Yeah, he's so good at that.
You know, it's almost like politicians are very good at it, are very good at kind of contorting the narrative to fit their to make them right, even though it's blatant that they're not. Like, listen, it's no surprise that, like, way back in the day, Perez was very mean to a bunch of celebrities. Like, you can't dispute that. That's what he built an empire on, you know? And here's kind of, like, my thing on that. Like, I believe what he's saying. I believe that he probably regrets a lot of the things. I think he's pretty aware of the pain that he probably caused a lot of people. But here's the truth of the matter. All that stuff is paying for his kids to go to school right now, you know, like, and is paying for his kids to probably have like a really wonderful life. So there's part of me that's like, doesn't really buy it. Like, because if you went back and changed it, then you probably wouldn't be able to, you know, send the kids to really nice schools or whatever, you know, like one doesn't come without the other. And so I didn't really love that argument. Because that's not what the argument was about. The argument was about, you really hurt me as a kid. It had nothing to do with his kids, you know? But, like, that was a really good way of, like, twisting it around and kind of making her look bad again, which...
Wow. That's crazy. I love, like, your perspective. Like, you opened my eyes.
Isn't that how you saw it, too?
Yeah, I know. I don't look at it from those... I look at it from, you know, I was there. I'm in entertainment. I don't see it as, you know, human psychology and, but you're right. I mean, that is crazy deflecting and so manipulative. But I understand why him and my brother are best friends. They are very similar. But I just wondered, what would it be like if they fought?
It would probably be really funny. It would be like, you know, in, is it Finding Nemo when the seagulls just go mine.
Yes.
I feel like if there was a fight between your brother and Perez Hilton, it could be about anything. It could be about, like, you know, trade talks in the Middle East. It would make no sense, and it would just sound like mine, and everyone would be like, what are they fighting about?
Way angrier, though, but for sure. That's jokes. But I, you know, I have nothing against Prez. I forgave him for drawing on my face, whatever. But it's one of those things that, you know, back to bring it full circle, is hate and anger only hurt you.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why I kind of just was like, but also Prez was out of sight, out of mind for me, because I was on TV for like a minute.
Yeah.
So that was like a lot easier. But, you know, 10 years of this resentment, this anger, I'm hoping the spewing of it is nearly done.
He drew on your face. I feel like that is, that's like the blue check mark on Instagram. If you had Perez Hilton at some point draw freaking semen on your face, you have made it.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind him. I don't think he's changed. I think he's a mean-spirited boy. But that's all. Like,
yeah.
What else do you got for the episode?
I don't know. I want to get away from him because I don't want him to, like, come after me and draw weird stuff on my face. Okay, so
blue
let's...
Blue tick. Opportunity. Yeah,
I know. I know, like, beware of what you wish for. Now that's going to be, like, next week. I'm going to get that, like, on PerezHilton.com, and I'm going to be like, no! Now I'm part of the Semen Club.
If that happens, we're going out and celebrating.
Okay.
Or we'll just, like, bring donuts into the office.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to you and your brother. Like, Whitney encouraging you to go talk to Spencer. And then Spencer says Stephanie is a lot and has a very powerful spirit, and I want to be on the right side of that. How did you take that?
I mean, that's what they always say in every interview, and, you know, they never say anything specifically mean.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's, we feel darkness, we feel evil, we wish her the best. She's very, what was the word they use?
Powerful spirit.
Yeah. Like, you know, that's their way of saying whatever, but they're very PC in every, she's a great, you know, she's great on the show, great addition to the show. Like, you cannot get them to say anything. I guess you can get Heidi. She called me nasty. But Spencer is very PC.
But then Heidi says
she... So, like, that doesn't even...
Mm-hmm. But then Heidi says she'd love to have a normal conversation with you and really tries hard. Is that just You're not buying it?
Do you know how many we've had over 10 years? I came on the original Hills because she didn't have any friends. I thought that was real friendship. And then I learned what she did to her best friend. And then I was like, this person is disturbed.
Yeah.
So we've had many talks. She flips it, you know, but it's same. But it's just hard because when she's on TV, she lies. Like, she says that I'm always in LA. I'm just not. You know, I've been on a show here that only gave me Christmas off for 5 years. And, you know, with the baby thing and with this, what you just said, it's just, it's frustrating that she has created her own narrative about me. That's not true.
What can we expect for next week's episode?
I don't even think I watched the ending of this one, so I don't know. I got too mad. I literally got too mad. I was so angry. I did another rant. I was just like, is this a joke that they're not showing how evil these people are? How they picked on a Whitney Port, a sweet little puppy? Like, that's the extent. It was freaking nuts. So I stopped watching it once I saw all these things being cut out. I was just like, this is not where I was.
Can
we please make a protest to have the show be 2 hours long? Like, let's do a petition. Honestly, this, like, nothing can be cut from what we filmed.
Well, what is everyone else saying? Is everyone else like, is Jibs mad that like so much was cut? Like, have you talked to anybody else about it?
No, but Jibs did call me, but I was at the airport.
Yeah.
So I think he had already seen it. And just Caitlin being like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
But no, you know, I turned off my American phone. When I'm on the plane, it gets turned off and it goes into a drawer in my living room. I don't look at it until I'm back on a plane going to LA, which is never going to happen ever again.
You're never
coming
back? So
get used to this Skype.
You're never coming back?
No.
So are you going on the record right now saying if there's a season 2 of The Hills, you will not be on it?
I'm saying that I live in London.
Yeah.
And I came to LA for a job.
Yeah.
And I am here now for jobs. And I'm going to stick with them while I'm employed. I just follow where the work is. If the work is like in Bangkok, like, I'd be on the next plane.
Okay.
I'm like such a workaholic.
Okay.
I love work.
Let's say in 6 months, the work calls you back to Los Angeles to film season 2 of The Hills.
I think people are sick of seeing Spencer and I fight. You know, it's 10 years of this.
Stephanie, isn't there a part of you that understands that that's why people liked the show originally? Like,
I don't talk to my family anymore. I lost everything in this first series. Everything. I just started talking to my dad again. I came away losing so much more than I could have gained.
Yeah.
I lost everything, you know? And that's the thing, like, coming home. Well, I don't need to come home for Christmas because I don't have a family. So I wouldn't be home then.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, there's a job, who knows? But again, like, I need to really grasp that I lost everything in 8 months. Yeah. And that's going to take me, you know, a few months, hopefully. You know, September, I would have had this summer, you know, far away from all of it. And, you know, I'll be able to accept it. But right now, like, and that's why I don't know if I should watch the show, because I'm just like, that was cut out, that. Like, I stopped talking to my parents because of this reason, and that's not even shown. Like, it's very frustrating.
No, I hear that.
You know, and I still get emotional when I talk about it. It's so annoying. But I did. Like, I lost so much so fast. But, you know, obviously it was inevitable that this would come. I mean, maybe not if I stayed in London and never came home in years and years and years. But coming home, and it was just inevitable. Like, I cannot stand up to my mom, my brother, and Heidi. Then I finally realized that. And that's why I need time for my mom. Because I'm going up, you know, against a wall.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. Maybe season two of The Hills New Beginning is about you guys, like, mending your fences and coming back together. I know that I am, like, the eternal
optimist.
That's
what season one is trying to do.
Well, it didn't work.
Well, there's no way we will ever come back. And that's what I said, you know, on my last day of filming, when I, you know, I'm saying that I'm going back to London, because it is never ending. It will never end, Wells. And that's just me putting myself in a position to just keep suffering.
Yeah.
When, you know, life is, I'm so lucky to be alive. We're all so lucky to be alive. And we should be living our own life. We shouldn't have other people dictating how we feel every day. You know, we need to put a wall up and be like, I'm going to decide how I feel, because this is my day, my life. Like, no other people should be affecting me how I feel. And if I go back to LA, like, if someone else did this, if I was, like, watching from, like, space, I'd be like, what an idiot. Like, why are you going back to, like, I don't want to say abuse, but just, like, a horrible, sad situation?
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
Yes and no. I agree that it's been detrimental to, like, you and your family, and it would be crazy to go back to that. But I also think that so much of your identity is wrapped up in these reality TV shows, and I feel like you would feel like a piece of you was missing if there was another season of The Hills and you weren't a part of it. You know what I'm saying?
I need to let everything sit in. I need to let things absorb. And in a few months, I might be in a place where I can coexist in LA. But honestly, LA is not big enough right now.
Yeah. And the weather is crap. It's always 78 degrees and sunny. Can you believe it?
Oh, come on. I love LA.
All right, Steph. Well, listen, I love you. I've always got your back. I'm glad that Jibs has got your back, too. And I'm just excited to see what episode 3 has to offer. So can you watch the whole thing for me, at least, so we can talk about it next week?
For sure.
Okay.
Thank you. I love you so much. And on, like, I want you to know, and the listeners to know, I have not, except for this podcast, I have not stopped smiling all day. Being back here, I am so wholeheartedly happy here right now. That it's like those 8 months are just such a dark memory, and I just feel very fresh. And I want, you know, don't think I'm upset about anything. I'm so happy to be here. So all is good.
All right.
Okay. And you're happy because you're on an island.
That's true. I'm about to go drink peach Bellinis by a beach.
Rum.
I don't even know. I'm just going to drink whatever the hell they send over at this point. I'm glad you're back in London, and I'm glad it's, like, giving you a sense of normalcy. So so keep being happy, keep smiling, and let's check in again next week and talk about episode 3.
Sounds good.
Hills, yeah.
Show's over.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie.
Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.